comes to marriage, we love our spouses. Sometimes we just can't figure them out. We want to figure out what the best ways to communicate to them. And so with us this morning, hailing from Atlanta, Georgia area, is Shanti Feldhahn. Can we give him give her a warm horizon welcome as she comes up? Shanti was several years ago working on a novel, which one of her main characters was a Christian guy and a Christian man, and she wanted to figure out how her character thought. And we do a lot of drama and music around here, and I feel like doing good art is important. And so you thought, let's do some statistics, let's figure out how men think, and you found a shocking phenomenon. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I basically originally was just interviewing a bunch of guys and asking them, okay, here's a scene in my book, what would you as a man be thinking in this situation? And I was so surprised by what I was hearing that it led to tons and tons and tons of these interviews, and eventually realized I couldn't just stop with the novel. I had to put all the stuff in a book and did a big national scientific survey of men all over the country. So.
Fantastic. So your book, kind of for women only, was your first one, and it was really understanding how men thought. And you noted several things, but one of the things that you thought or noted was very significant was that men don't need love, they need respect. Tell me what that means.
Well, and I probably wouldn't say they don't need love. So okay. I think both men and women, we both need love and we both need respect. But we women have this little problem where we don't realize that you men don't most need love. Hmm. And actually, the way that it worked out on the survey, we were really shocked when we realized that we women, we're really good at showing love. And we're really good at saying, honey, I love you, and doing all these things that we hope that our husband will find as loving. But it turns out on the survey, most men said that if they had to, they had to make a choice between those two, they'd actually choose to give up feeling loved if they could just feel respected, if they could just feel that their wife or their girlfriend respected them and trusted them and believed in them and admired them. And all those things were more important to the average man than feeling that the woman in his life loves him.
What does that look like for, where does that conflict happen when a man feels disrespected? What does that look like? As husbands, we may kind of say things that we don't mean to be insensitive, but they are. What are maybe some things that accidentally or unintentionally we communicate the opposite of what we mean?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think that most of us women have to get over an idea realize that there's an assumption here that we're making in our mm-hmm. relationship with our man. And it's a sort of a cultural assumption. I think probably most of us in the room would agree with that love is to be unconditional, but respect has to be earned. Okay?
Yeah.
Most of us would probably agree with that. The problem is, in marriage especially, if you look at it from sort of a biblical perspective, mm-hmm. that's totally contrary to what the Bible says about how husbands and wives are supposed to relate. And we don't realize that just as we want our husband, if we're a woman, just as we want him to show love to us, even if we're not particularly lovable that day, our men deeply, deeply need to feel that we are going to choose to demonstrate that we respect them, whether or not we feel like he's earned it that day. And especially, actually, a guy really sort of feels like, even if he has made mistakes, he really needs his wife or his girlfriend to really believe in him. And we don't realize, I think most of us women probably do respect the man that we're with in most mm-hmm. cases, and just don't realize we're conveying that we don't mm-hmm. in these little day-to-day examples.
And I love the example you gave that men, we have a tendency to set a challenge for us to rise to the occasion. And so we know that we're, in one sense, I guess it'd be helpful if we admitted that we weren't being respectable. But in the same way with women, you know, it's like, if you told me, well, I'm feeling crappy today, it'd be easier for me to, okay, well, at least she knows it. So I have to point it out. But if I sort of have to point out you're being disrespectful. But in the nature of that, the idea that when a man is respected, he kind of knows he may not even be worthy of that, but he wants to kind of almost step up to the challenge. Talk a little bit about that.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting. It's the example that I use, I do a lot of speaking to women's groups.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the examples that I use is, you know, I'll say this to women here, you know, using as a hypothetical, I'm sure I'm the only woman in here who's ever been a shrew. Okay, but on those hypothetical occasions when we're being a little crabby as a mm-hmm. wife, and I say, okay, if my husband, his name is Jeff, if he chooses, when he's confronted with a really crabby woman, if he will choose to demonstrate grace and mercy and love on me anyway and extend that love to me, what does it do to me? It really softens my heart, right? And it convicts me, and it makes me want to be lovable. And what I tell women, it's the same thing for you men. If, another hypothetical, suppose there's a decision that has to be made,
mm-hmm.
okay? And suppose that was today, but yesterday there was a decision that he made that didn't go so well, and maybe it went kind of bad. And now we have a choice to make today, which is, do I sort of say, well, honey, clearly you didn't do that so well, so, you know, I'm going to take that one out of your hands.
Mm.
Or do we say, that's okay, honey, I trust you.
Mm.
Go ahead.
Mm.
And what does that do to him? It's the same thing that it does to us. It softens his heart. It convicts him. It makes him want to aim for that mark. It wants to make a man be the person his woman is already treating him as. And it's the exact same dynamic as how a woman responds if he will show love to her, even if she's not being particularly lovable.
I remember in the book you referenced a movie clip, and I think many times us guys would get stereotyped as guys don't have emotions. You know, they want to jump in the bedroom. That's about the only emotion they have. You talked about how really men feel things very deeply, and that the statistics actually back that up. And I've done extensive reading on kind of how men and women and their interactions go. But you think about certain movie clips just really inspire men, and you talked about one movie clip that really demonstrated this, and kind of set that up for us.
This is a movie, some of you may be familiar with the movie The Natural, with Robert Redford and Glenn Close, and the clip that you're going to show here is basically years before this guy left this girlfriend and sort of disappeared, you know, abandoned her, and he goes and becomes this real sort of star baseball player, and then he gets this real demoralizing storm, and he can't do anything right, and every time he steps up to the plate, even though he's a natural, he's just starts doubting himself, he's making lots of mistakes,
mm-hmm.
And he's just, every time he steps up, people are booing him, and he's just feeling terrible about himself, and she finds out, hasn't seen him in 16 years, she finds out he's going to be playing at her local baseball field. And she comes to the stadium and is watching all of this. And every time he gets up to the plate, he's just feeling worse about himself. And that's where we start this clip.
Okay, let's watch. See this idea that here he is feeling bad about himself, feeling like he's not accepted anywhere else, and by her affirming it and kind of showing I still believe in you, he wanted to rise to the occasion in that.
It sounds silly, but I think the reason that gives a lot of us goosebumps is it's almost like a supernatural thing that God does when a woman who's chosen that she wants to spend the rest of her life with this man, she knows him better than anybody else.
Yes.
And that she's going to choose to believe in him even when he makes mistakes. The power that has to build a guy up is just beyond compare. Mm-hmm. And the problem is that we women do feel that way about our men. As we said in the last service, we really do. We just don't realize that all these little examples of life that we are saying we don't respect them. Like, can I give a silly example?
Sure.
Okay. And this is one that we don't know what we're saying. Most of the women have probably been in a situation where a husband or a boyfriend is driving in circles and refusing to stop and ask for directions. Okay? We've probably mostly been there. Well, what I didn't realize is so many of the men that I interviewed, they said when their wife or their girlfriend sits in the passenger seat and says, honey, please just stop and ask for directions, what they are accurately hearing is, I don't trust you. And if you think about it, ladies, that's actually what we're saying. What we're saying is, I don't trust you to find your way, so let's stop and ask some other man for directions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And in all these little things of life, we are, it could be as simple as saying, oh, honey, call a plumber. You don't know how to do the plumbing. You know, guys said, you know, I'm supposed to be the provider for my family. I'm supposed to know how to do this stuff. And it's so imperative that she feels like I can.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just making someone a throwaway comment. We have no idea that it's as devastating to him as it would be to us if he made us feel that he didn't love us.
I know, for me, it could be as simple as, you know, my wife saying, hey, it seems like there's a noise under the hood of the car. And my mind goes, immediately I get defensive, and I think to myself, well, it should be my job, I should take care of that. And I have to almost compartmentalize, it's not about me. It feels like it was. It wasn't. That's not what she intended. Why does that happen in me when it goes on? And you talked about in another chapter, the idea that men are kind of, can't remember how you word it, but kind of the great imposters, that we are... We're kind of the hunt, kill, celebrate kind of men, especially in front of the guys, whether we're talking smack around a football game or whether we're playing cards or whatever it is, and we're going to beat everybody else. You know, we men are confident. We like to certainly appear confident. But when it comes to our wives and what's kind of beneath the veneer, I hear wives many times say, you know, I got to keep him humble. And you actually found statistically that men may not be exactly what they appear to be, especially in the context of marriage. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. You know, you men look confident, and underneath what we heard from most of the men on the survey, I think it was about 7 out of 10, said that they go through their day sort of thinking on the inside, I'm really not sure that I know exactly what I'm doing, and I hope nobody finds out. Okay, that's sort of a common feeling for a man, and sort of this feeling of being watched and judged, and that I had originally thought that would be primarily an issue at a guy's job.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, and it is, obviously, you know, in general, but I hadn't realized that so many guys said, you know, it's actually worse at home, because at least at work, I've got some idea whether I'm doing a good job.
Sure. Very,
you know?
Linear.
Relationship, yeah, exactly.
Very linear. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm bringing in the clients. You can measure that. How can I measure, this one guy said it, how can I measure whether I'm doing a good job as a husband? The only measuring stick I have is the happiness of my wife. And so if a guy secretly doubts himself, then what that means is he's constantly looking to his wife's reactions to him as whether am I being a good husband today. And this whole idea of bringing down a peg, you know, we think you guys look so confident in yourself, you need to be taken down a peg or two.
Mm-hmm.
And one guy, he said, he put it really well. He said, what's happening isn't that a man is starting with an inflated view of himself and you're bringing him down to ground level. That's what a lot of women kind of think. What's happening is that secretly they're starting below ground level. And when you're bringing them down, they're digging a tunnel somewhere. And if that's true, that's an incredible opportunity for us as women to look for every chance to build our men up and to affirm those things that we do respect and believe in. We just didn't realize you guys needed that, because you don't look like you do.
And a lot of us as guys haven't been trained necessarily to verbalize our emotions well enough to describe that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm more verbal in our relationship, and so I'm probably the more the blabbery guy. you know, with Beth, you know, she'll say, you know, if you do, how'd you feel that Sunday went, the message went? So it felt great. I heard lots of people saying good things about you. See, I care what you think.
Yeah.
You know, everybody else think it's horrible, but... I really want to know that you're proud of me, and just those words that my wife is proud of me, and how significant and positive. I was watching a TV show Bones the other day, and there's a scene in there where his wife came and just looked him in the eye and said, "I want you to know what a good dad you are." And just what a powerful moment talking to a guy to hear your wife say, "I'm proud of you. I'm proud of the man you are. I'm proud of the provider you are. Thank you for being here."
That's basically the most powerful thing a woman can say to a man, according to all the research. You know, we're good at saying, "I love you," like mm-hmm. we talked about. We don't realize that although, yeah, that's good, I've had so many pastors sitting, you know, I've done this interview a lot around the country, and I've had so many of them say that they could go, if they had to, mm-hmm. they could go the rest of their life without hearing their wife say, "I love you," if they had to. But this one pastor said, "There's no way I could go the rest of my life without hearing that she's proud of me."
Hmm. And you, as we've been going through kind of a series the last few weeks talking about philosophy, we talked about how sometimes...
Is that what all these came
up? That's what all these came up, yeah.
We're doing Seinfeld.
We didn't have a picture of you to put up there, so you put it next to Seinfeld. I think one of the things, moving to this other area of just physical desire, intimacy, and sex, and how men and women see that differently, I think many times, as a society, we've said sex is a physical thing. What you found is that for men, it's actually a very emotional thing.
Yeah.
And talk a little bit about that.
This is one of those things that they... it's something we know is important to our husbands. And it's important to us, too. We're just really wired very differently. And so we know that physical intimacy is important, but we just don't understand exactly why.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I was doing a radio interview once with a male interviewer who said, "What do you mean, why?" You know, because for a guy, it's very self-evident. And what I realized is that we women have a complete misunderstanding about this. And we do think of it as being, for our husbands, as being primarily a physical need. Because that's sort of the category we put it in. It's a mm-hmm. physical need. It's a physical urge. And, you know, I have a couple of small children, one of whom is here with me today. And when you've been pulled on by little hands all day, sleep seems like a physical need, too. You know? And so for what we often tell guys is that, you know, when their wives are comparing that to sleep, sometimes sleep's going to win. And it's just, as we said in the first service, because we're physically different. But what I heard from the men, as I went around interviewing them about this and the importance of this, what I kept hearing about the importance of this really was this enormous, not this physical need as much as this enormous emotional need that they couldn't get met any other way. And it's the need that every husband has to feel that his wife desires him. And that she wants him. And if a guy feels that his wife desires him, it gives that man a sense of confidence and a sense of well-being in the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm.
And if he doesn't feel desired, apparently it gives a guy a sense of dragging kind of depression and I must not be much of a man. And that gives a man a sense of lack of well-being
mm-hmm.
and confidence in the rest of his life. And obviously, what that you're hearing there isn't really just a physical need. It really is an emotional need. And really, in a marriage relationship, that's something he can't get met with any other thing in his life.
Sure. And I know you noted how, in the context of that, let's see how I put it in my notes here, that for men, it's a way of saying, "I want to connect with you." Almost like women would say, "I want to spend time together. I want you to love me. I want to hear words of affirmation." For men, it can come across, we can be stereotyped as, "Oh, you're just being selfish." And I'm not being selfish. I'm saying I want to be near you. I'm saying I want to be close. I'm doing the opposite of that.
Yeah.
And that's where we feel like, well, I'm trying to be close to you, and I'm being condemned for it, instead of vice versa.
The thing that I tell so many women, you know, and we sometimes have these women's events where it's like, closed door, kick all the men out of the room.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk at length about the fact that there is such a difference between men and women here that women need to sort of feel, as I said in the first service, we didn't really get into this very much, but women really need to feel close in order to want to be physically intimate with their mm-hmm. husband. Whereas men want to be physically intimate in order to feel close. Mm-hmm. And that, as you said, it's that connection. And one guy, oh, he put it so well. He said, "You know, I feel like I go through my day, it's like I'm out of a boxing ring, and it's really lonely." You know, like we talked about in the first couple subjects, you know, mm-hmm. sort of feel like everybody's watching me and judging me, and it's just black around me, and the lights are shining down, and I'm just duking it out, and I'm doing the best I can. But I have such a concern about whether I am doing a good job, and I'm real lonely, and when I come home, I really want to feel like there's someone in my corner. who's going to affirm me as a man.
Mm-hmm.
And that sense of affirmation in that intimate way with his wife, as one guy put it so eloquently, is a salve that goes so deep into the heart of a man. And I realized what an incredible gift. A wife who can really understand this, that it's not about more sex. You know, it's really about feeling desirable and desired and realizing, as one guy, I love this, one guy said, you know, I could be having a terrible time at work. I could be worried about losing my job. The industry could be a wreck. You know, the house could be falling apart. But if I know my wife desires me and she affirms me in bed, I can conquer the rest of the world, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
And what a powerful ability we have to really show our man how we feel about him.
Let's unpack that a little bit, the idea of kind of how man views work. And you did some research on that. You found that we have men and women both who work, but you found that with men, there seems to be a mental weight that obviously, there's always stress with bills and there's always stress with decisions with money, but you found kind of in your data that there's maybe a stronger weight or preoccupation with that more so. So talk a little bit about that.
You know, we women, if the book is all about stuff that we cannot forget, you know, that tends to be surprised, it's really no surprise that men want to be a provider. You know, we've heard that before. What I hadn't realized is it's not a matter of wanting to, it's having to. And this burden and this compulsion that goes so deep into it wouldn't make any difference to the guy's feeling that it is his job to provide. And I had not realized how sort of constant it is as it weighs on a man's mind. You know, we actually did a survey question that I said, you know, how often do you think about your responsibility to provide for your family? And the answer choices were like, you know, it's often on the front of my mind, you know, or it's usually sort of constantly right there at the sort of beginning of my consciousness, or, oh, it's only there when, you know, there's some financial hardship, you know, there's a need to think about it. And I kind of thought that it would be mostly the latter, you know, that when there's a need to think about it. And instead, it was this huge percentage that said, no, it is on my mind all the time. And I realized there is something that we women are fundamentally missing because we often don't see that our husband is doing that because he feels like that is a primary way that he says, I love you. And we, you know, in the drama, you know, where the guy is feeling criticized for working long hours, he thinks he's working those hours to say, I love you, and he's being criticized for it.
I mentioned first service. One thing I do with kind of marriage coaching sometimes is I'll have couples come in, and it's amazing how both, and I certainly have been guilty of this, just taking my wife for granted or feeling taken for granted of, or whatever, how to say that, to have couples look each other in the eye and say, what are you thankful for about your spouse? Because we've all got a list. Well, yeah, I'm thankful for, but we never say it.
Yeah.
And it is amazing to me that how few moments we make for that. And when that happens, I just kind of force, hey, we've been talking about some things, but tell me, what are you grateful for? And just how deeply moving that is for both the wife and husband to say, thank you. Yeah, and all of that talk about bills, and to talk about who's going where, and then traffic, and who's going to get the soccer game. But just say thank you for, you know, providing regularly. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your loyalty, and really to appreciate each other for the character of who we are, not just what we do. Because none of us wants to think of ourselves as a paycheck, or as a, you know, a bedroom companion. We want to be affirmed for who we are, and to do that.
And that's so powerful, and I had not realized how powerful that is for a man. It's such an enormous, we've all heard, you know, being a provider is part of a man's identity. We've kind of heard that. I hadn't really realized how deep that went, and that it's sort of him as a man putting himself out there with this sense of incredible vulnerability to his wife. To say, I am doing this for you. This is who I am. It's being sort of poured out for you. And I used to criticize my husband so much for his long hours. And finally, he actually was able, after maybe 2 or 3 years of it, who's finally able to put into words, to articulate the fact that, do you think I want to be working this much?
Mm.
You know, I'm doing it because I care about you.
Mm.
And that sort of started the sense of exploration of how critical it is that with the men, we didn't actually get to go in very deep into this in the first service, but with the men, realize that the women usually don't want the stuff that he's providing as much as they want more of him. And with the women, you realize that he's trying so hard to love on me this way, and it's a need for appreciation and a need for affirmation and a need for, if he's working tons of hours, sympathy,
mm-hmm.
you know, and not criticism.
Again, also tell folks, I learned this several years ago. My wife and I went to a marriage counselor, a marriage retreat, and this quote has been with me for a while. And it was that in relationships, we either focus on each other's, we either share our needs or we focus on the other person's bad behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And most of us do bad behavior. You're not home enough. You're criticizing all the time. It's you should. And to move to a place, we talk about what we need
mm-hmm.
and give the other person the choice. Not you have to. But, you know, what I need here is just appreciation for the long hours I've done. To be able to express our needs instead of criticizing what you're not doing.
Mm-hmm.
And vice versa. I would like us to spend more time together. It's a lot more inviting than you shouldn't be working so hard.
Mm-hmm.
That how can we express, my wife wants me to choose to spend more time with her. Well, how can we do that? And part of our life mapping series is about trying to get on the same page because there's always these contradictory. A marriage is headed one direction, a career is headed another way, but you want to buy stuff, but you want me home. And man almost feels like, and I think as families, man, I think all of us feel like there's just so many pressures that if this and not that, and we try and kind of have everything, and we need to get on the same page together.
Well, and one of the really, and I will say on the flip side, if
mm-hmm.
you don't mind, about women. One of the things that is so critical is for guys to realize that women, when they say, honey, I don't care about the stuff as much. I just want more of you.
Mm-hmm.
They mean it. Men all know that their wives need security. They think that means financial security.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things that we found in For Men Only in the other book is that the vast majority of women would actually give up financial security if that's what it took to get more of him, to get more emotional security and more closeness with their husband. And so that is, I think, there's an area there where we women absolutely have to learn how to appreciate the burden that a guy carries in this area. And the guy also needs to realize that he's not as trapped as he thinks he is
mm-hmm.
in some cases.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing that I loved that you had toward the end was, I can't remember how you worded, but the idea of what do you want your wives to most know that they don't know, or something like that.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, we at the end of the survey, we gave the men a blank space,
mm-hmm.
and we said, when you talk about all of these subjects, what's the most important one? You know,
mm-hmm.
the question was, what's the one most important thing you wish your wife knew, but feel you can't quite explain to her or tell her? And I thought it would be a chance for the men to vent. Really.
Yeah, exactly.
And instead, the vast majority, the top response by far was, I wish my wife knew how much I love her. That was the top answer by far. And I realized, our guys, you guys really do sort of feel handicapped at getting it across to the woman in your life, how much you care about her, how much you adore her. And I realized what a great encouragement it is for us as women to maybe realize that you men are a lot more emotionally deep, like you said, than we sort of think you are.
Mm-hmm.
And a chance to say, I didn't know any of this. And what an opportunity for me to move in your direction as a man and say, I'm going to do some work I didn't even know was necessary to build you up. You know, probably the key sort of thing that overarched all the research was that I didn't realize how much power God has given us as women
mm-hmm.
to either build our man up or to tear him down, and how incredible it can be when we choose to step into that. You know, one pastor said to his congregation when he was talking about this, he said the power that a woman has in a guy's life, and this pastor had an enormous congregation, is always on TV and books and all that kind of stuff, and he said, you know, he stood up to his congregation and he said, you know, I know you think you've got a good pastor. He said, you don't. You've got a great pastor's wife.
Mm.
And that's really, ladies, how I feel like what I was hearing about our men feel about us.
Thank you, Ken. As we were preparing for this service, one thing that for me, especially with my job, is my job is on spotlight because, 6 months in advance, we work on these series. I think we booked you 9 months ago.
Yeah.
We plan these things. We research dramas. We write dramas. We find video clips. We do original songs. And so every week, it's like, which I love about my job, every 7 days, we put on opera.
Yeah.
With the back time, all the scripts and volunteers being involved, I love that. And I love working. Something about working, I just love doing it. And part of the excitement in our services is, especially when we get to kind of put our own words, not just somebody else's song, but I was talking with Kenny. Kenny had written a song a couple years ago, and I was listening to it. I was down at J.B. Finn, I think, and he was playing it. And it kind of talks about, in marriage, it's not always about the big things, right? So I guess we need to do more big things. And how the smaller things, the little emails, the little phone calls, how I answer the phone when my wife calls me during the day, don't sound irritated that she called me, I make sense of the call back and say, I'm sorry, I was probably in the middle of something. I know I came across short and impatient, and I'm sorry for that. Every time I pick up the phone and I know what that's calling, I kind of realize this is one of those smaller things. How I talk in the next minute and a half is going to communicate, I'm glad you called, or it's going to communicate, you're an interruption in my life. And God began to really reveal to me it's really about the smaller things in our life. So, let me just have a prayer for us, and Kenny's going to sing a song about how we can begin to devote ourselves to the smaller things that communicate love to our husband and wives. Dear God, thank you that when you came and demonstrated your love, it was a demonstration. It wasn't just cheap words, it was action. And God, that we as human beings created in your image can learn to choose to love our spouses the way you made them. And God, we are frustrated many times that you made them so different from us, and we don't understand that. It'd be a whole lot easier. But God, I have learned so much to be less selfish because I've been married, and to be less selfish because I have kids. And we know that your ultimate desire is to grow us spiritually, to make us better, stronger, wiser people because of the relationships we're in. God, show us how to do that in the smaller things. After a conflict, after we say something rude, after we realize that disrespectful words or that unloving comment struck, God, that we can go back and apologize and to really communicate to the smaller things how much we really care for each other and how proud we are of each other. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's so easy to be cruel, it's hard to be kind. It's easier to find the words that cut you down to size. It's hard to take that step back and look for what's right. Gonna try to find the right word tonight. Words that love don't tear apart. Words that go beyond emotions of the heart. If you want to find out what some tenderness can bring, sometimes it takes a bigger man to say the smaller things. It's the same old situation, time and time again. Forgetting that we are lovers, we don't even act like friends. Live on one word answers, just to avoid the fight. I'm gonna try to find the right words tonight. Words that love don't tear apart. Words that go beyond emotions of the heart. If you want to find out what some tenderness can bring, sometimes it takes a bigger man to say the smaller things, like I was wrong, but you were right. And you look lovely tonight. And I'm sorry if I made you cry. Words that love don't tear apart. Words go beyond the motions of the heart. If you want to find out what some tenderness can bring, sometimes it takes a bigger man to say the smaller things. If you want to find out what some tenderness can bring, sometimes it takes a bigger man to say the small things.